Hello, it's Tuesday, June 16th, and this is Israel in 10, the Misgav Daily Brief. I'm Laura Sellier in Tel Aviv. President Trump may release details of his agreement with Iran before it's definitively signed on Friday. But reports that have trickled out so far have been met with dismay here in Israel, especially one that Iran could receive a $300 billion reconstruction fund. So is this a victory for Tehran, or is it too soon to say? I'll put that to the former spokesman for the State of Israel, Alon Levy, in a moment. But first, the US Vice President J.D. Vance has been defending America's deal with Iran, which he is due to sign in person in Geneva on Friday. Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says he's not party to the details, but that the war had saved Israel from nuclear annihilation. He also says the IDF will maintain troop positions in southern Lebanon, Syria, and Gaza. According to reports, the agreement ends a US blockade on Iranian ports and reopens the Strait of Hormuz, but delays talks on Iran's nuclear program for 60 days. The agreement has been condemned by almost all of Israel's political leaders. A glimpse into how the agreement is being viewed in Iran. The Financial Times cites senior Iranian officials who claim the war has taught them that only military force and not diplomacy can protect the regime. They also claim the war has strengthened the IRGC and that the US and Israel failed to destroy Iran's underground missile infrastructure. Well, the Wall Street Journal is claiming that IRGC commander Ahmed Vahidi is pushing to delay signing the agreement until all of Iran's demands are satisfied. The Israeli Air Force was just an hour away from launching a massive strike on Iran during last week's fighting. That's according to Air Force Chief Major General Omer Tischler. In a message to personnel, he revealed that dozens of aircraft were prepared to hit hundreds of targets deep inside Iran before the operation was abruptly called off. Reports suggest Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu halted the mission after President Trump urged Israel not to escalate the conflict further. And Israel's foreign minister has accused France of boycotting Israeli defense firms because of fear of competition. Another arms fair in Paris has blocked Israeli companies from displaying offensive weapons and boarded up several Israeli stands, even after the firms complied with restrictions. Gideon Saar posted a clip on social media with the French Prime Minister Sébastien Lecornu admitting that Israeli defense firms were the main competitor to the French industry. Saar wrote, "Banning us won't help. Countries will buy Israeli defense simply because it's better." Well, before we get to today's conversation, a reminder, you can sponsor Israel in 10. Just drop us a line at misgavdailybrief@gmail.com. Now, here's the former spokesman for the State of Israel, Alon Levy. There's an unmistakable sense of gloom here in Israel this morning. Is this deal a disaster, or is it too soon to tell?
Well, the fact that the Americans haven't released the text of the deal is not an encouraging sign. It suggests they've sent Vice President Vance to try to frame the deal in Americans' minds before they read the text. But from the drafts we've seen circulating from the Iranian side, it's absolutely a disaster. This is a deal to postpone talks about the nuclear issue while giving up all of America's leverage to force a settlement, ending the blockade of the Strait of Hormuz, promising to lift sanctions as a result of whatever deal is reached without knowing what that deal is, giving cash up front. That is not encouraging. We have gone from a demand from unconditional surrender and wanting to bring down the Iranian regime to promising to secure financing for $300 billion to secure the economic development of the regime. Now, I've seen the administration saying, well, you know, this is conditional on their good behavior, but it's like telling Nazi Germany, we've given up on unconditional surrender. Why don't we offer you the Marshall Plan now if you change your behavior? The same goes for the ballistic missile and the proxy army threat. The Americans can say that Clause 1 says that Iran is committed to regional stability, but there's a huge difference between a rhetorical commitment on paper to support regional security and a verifiable termination of its support for proxy armies. In fact, the linkage to Lebanon is the opposite of regional security because it allows Iran to strengthen its stranglehold on the IRGC. So I don't know if gloom is justified, but definitely apprehension and concern if this is anything close to what the Americans have agreed to.
Wasn't this always going to happen because Israel and the United States have very different aims when it comes to Iran, don't they?
And that's legitimate. Israel and the US are two different countries, and for a while their interests overlapped, and now they diverge. And they diverge because America has a very different risk tolerance from Israel. The Iranian regime is a threat to American forces in the area, American interests in the area, American assets in the area. Not to the American mainland just yet, not until it can develop those intercontinental ballistic missiles President Trump was warning about. For Israel, the threat is much more immediate, and so they have different analyses. But it didn't have to be this way, because we know America did have alternative plans. It had contingencies. CENTCOM was working on a plan to forcibly open the Strait of Hormuz. In fact, started putting it into action until the United States pulled the plug on it. President Trump threatened, just to get this over the line, that he would take over Karg Island and begin controlling or even destroying oil infrastructure. So the United States did have other options if it wanted to push this to the edge. And that's exactly what's concerning, because America's adversaries will be looking at this saying, hang on, is America really going to stick to the courage of its convictions when it has alternatives? I mean, what does this mean for Taiwan as the Chinese look across the Taiwan Strait, thinking that if they maintain a blockade for a few months, America will eventually pack up and leave? So, no, I don't think this was inevitable. There were alternatives, and I definitely hope that what's being reported and circulated is not what the Americans have agreed to, or it really would be a capitulation and form of appeasement.
So if these reports do turn out to be accurate, is Israel worse off now than it was back in February before the war?
I think we will forget the original justification for entering this war. And the Americans made it clear on day one, but people weren't really listening. The Iranians were close to reaching a point of strategic invulnerability. Israel believes they would have manufactured 8,000 ballistic missiles by 2027. That would have made them untouchable. It would have meant they could close the Strait of Hormuz whenever they wanted because no one could stop them. They could race towards nuclear weapons and no military option would be on the table. That was an immediate threat that had to be removed, and it has been removed. And clearly the Iranian defense industrial complex has taken a huge beating, and we're waiting for a battle damage assessment to see exactly how much. But there is no doubt that in order to alleviate the immediate twin threats of a nuclear program and ballistic missile program, the regional picture has become a lot more complicated. Israel's currency in the United States has been eroded outrageously, given the way that CENTCOM and the Secretary of War have been talking about what a reliable, dependable partner Israel has been in this war. It's elevated the role of Pakistan, which is something that should deeply concern the Indians as well, and could perhaps hasten some sort of American withdrawal from the region, just at a time that countries here actually want to take a firmer stance against Iran. So, I do think the decision to go to this war was correct, if that threat was indeed as imminent and dramatic as it was being made out to be. But undoubtedly, there is a mess here that we're going to have to work out how to clean up.
Now, we have been here before, haven't we? Leaks to the press have misled people previously. There's a few days until Friday. Do you think President Trump, Prime Minister Netanyahu, might have a surprise up their sleeves?
You know, President Trump and Netanyahu always have surprises up their sleeves, and one can only hope that they're pleasant ones.
And just finally, we are in just a few months out from the election here in Israel. That's complicating everything. Do you think this will prompt a big shift in politics here?
Look, Netanyahu's coalition does not have a majority at the moment, and it's difficult to see how it secures one. Netanyahu wanted to frame this war as his legacy. It's not the October 7th war. He won't use that term. It's the war of redemption. This was the war that transformed Israel into a regional power and colossus astride the Middle East after the disaster of October 7th. But this American capitulation to Iran is going to make it more difficult for Netanyahu to present total victory. It leaves the threat open-ended. And notice that in his press conference yesterday, he didn't touch on the deal at all. I think he wanted it to be known tacitly that he was unhappy with it. But he went on a long list of achievements, saying that these would have been fantastical if anyone could have suggested them before October 7th. But certainly the fact that we're far from the total victory that we were promised, that the wars are open-ended, that America may be trying to tie our hands when it comes to Hezbollah, and that we've returned to a reality of equations and quiet will be answered with quiet, definitely does not augur well for Netanyahu, and the opposition will be able to capitalize on that.
That's it. That's your Israel in 10. Thanks for watching, and please do subscribe using the link below. Goodbye.